I don't know why they like to get me all riled up before I get up here. I just want to cut loose sometimes and just help them out. What a blessing. Oh, man, so glad to see you tonight. I am excited to see so many new faces and see families that have been here for quite a while. I am grateful. I'd love to chat with each and every one of you, and it really is a thrill to be here. My wife is in Illinois, and she was with us last week on vacation, and my daughter is getting close to having a baby anytime, so she decided she wanted to go up there and not worry about me driving 95 mile an hour to get her back up there. And so I can appreciate that, and I'm sure she can appreciate that too. And so she's up there, so pray that everything will go well with Bethany and that. And thank you for taking care of our family. I always feel fine. I feel God's grace. I feel comforted. I feel peace of mind that this church loves my boys and their wives and their family. Not only do I feel that, but you demonstrate it over and over and over again. And I am very, very grateful. I mean that from my heart. And I know they love it here. I know they are excited what God is doing. I know they're challenged by it. Amen. And I know there's work to be done. And so jump in and help them work together. And so I'm excited about that. It's so grateful. I want to chat with you. There's so many things I'd like to say. Hey, Brother Seth, you would be really encouraged by, you know, these churches that have these services not on Wednesday night, but on Thursday night. You ever heard of that? Thought you did. And they invite preachers to come in and preach. And I was invited to be a Thursday night preacher somewhere, of course. Not here, but I wanted to tell you that I was invited. I mean, some people like me. Some people say, I love you, man. And so, but anyway, they asked me. And I just saw that. I'm still your dad, you know. But you love it if I just clean his clock right now in front of you all. Dukes are off. You kidding me? I'd be worn out in 30 seconds. But I did. I preached in the church, and I had the Lord blessed in a mighty way. And the preacher even said, after the service, we went out to eat, and he said, you have influenced our church more in one service where it was demonstrated within an hour after the service. He's more than any other preacher. And I thought, well, that's really good. I said, what do you mean? By the way, it was Crystal's dad. It was your dad. And I said, what do you mean, sir? He said, in your sermon, you mentioned ice cream. And we have six families in the service right here at the ice cream parlor right after church. I preach God's word, and what do they get out of it? Dessert. I mean, but ice cream does sound pretty good right now, doesn't it? I mean, it really does. I mean, it just does, son. It really does. Sometimes they don't get it. I have found that one of the things that happen in churches and in families through the summer is we get so busy and we sometimes get off track. How many would agree that? We get off track. I don't know if I'm going to preach tonight, if I just want to share my heart. I kind of almost feel like the Lord just kind of told me to be, if you will, a pawpaw tonight. Maybe a pastor, maybe a dad. And just kind of wear that hat to kind of encourage you in something, but just show you. I'm just trying to tell you, a lot of people get busy in the summer. They get off schedule and their Bible reading goes down a little bit. Their prayer time goes down a little bit. They get distracted. Hey, rightly so. I don't know about you, but it stays longer, the lighter longer, and there's so many things taking place. And I'll go home from work. My wife wants me to go out and work in the garden, and she's a slave driver. And I'm out there till 9:30 at night. I said, I can't go any farther, and I wonder why. And I look and said, good night, it's 9:30. I don't even want to take a shower. And, you know, just go to bed stinking. But no, she, that's not going to happen. And the next, you know, you're just, I can't get up in the morning if, you know, work all the time. Can I tell you something? My family's a lot better off if I read my Bible and pray.
Amen.
You don't know me very well, but you're a lot better off because I'm kinder to them and kinder to my daughters, my family, and our church. And I know I'm not strange on that. I know that's pretty much the way it is across the board in every one of your lives. And all God said, amen. And children, you too. When my children were little and they couldn't read, I made them sit down, open up a Bible, and just turn the pages and go through it. And you say, I can't understand it. Well, why don't you get to know the Holy Spirit? He's the teacher. Read the simple words. Get the thought. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference in your life. Bible reading, no matter how old you are, is important in your life. So when you get back on track, you do that. Just don't beat yourself up. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm trying to get back on track. School's getting started. The schedule has changed. I don't know if your vegetables are dying out yet. Ours are just getting started. They always do well when we're on vacation. I told my wife, why don't we plan it 2 weeks later? Because when we go on vacation, the church has to go over and eat in my garden that I planted, that I hold. They get that. So I go back and get what little bit's left. Your Bible reading's important. Your time with God's important. Your walk with Christ is important. A couple weeks ago, I was reminding myself of that. And to be honest about it, the thoughts that I have tonight are kind of out of my walk with Christ. I don't even know that you could say it's a message. What is your walk with Christ about? What do you get from your Bible reading? Or are you just reading it? And you're glad you got your chapter in. Or five chapters. Or you got your 5 minutes in, your prayer, and you're gone. You need to make sure that you get something from God. You need to get encouraged. And I was reading in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 16. Turn with me there. I was reading in Matthew chapter 16 and some things caught my attention because our theme is on the church. And our theme's on the church in Matthew chapter 16. I was reading starting at verse 13, and this really got my attention. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the thoughts come to my mind is, you know, people have a conversation for a particular reason. Why are we having a conversation? What are we talking about? What are the questions? When people ask a bunch of questions, why? What are they wanting to know? What kind of things are they trying to think through? What kind of answers do they want? Do I want to give them the answers that they need, or are they really ready for what I want to, what I believe I should, the answers I should give them? But the Lord Jesus Christ is asking his disciples these questions. So they're probably got to be pretty good questions. And then he makes the statement that I think is really important: upon this rock I will build my church. And so, well, how does that apply? And why is he making that statement in the midst of a conversation when he's trying to say, who do you think I am? Because things are happening in his life and things are happening in the life of disciples. And things are happening in the Lord's life. And so they're just really talking about life. And you know, some of your walk with Christ, some of your Bible readings, some of your prayer time is really included about the things that you're going through in your life and how they affect you. Because that's what the Lord is trying to solve, the things that you are going through in your life that are really burdening you or challenging you or encouraging you or you're burdened about someone else. So your walk with Christ becomes so vitally important that you need this extra help. And your conversations should include some of the things that you've received your answers from in your walk with Christ. So I began to say, oh Lord, why are you talking to disciples like this? So if you will, would you look to the previous chapter just for a couple minutes here? And you'll know the story, so I'm not even going to go in detail on really about anything. I just have thoughts tonight. And in the last chapter 15, it's talking about the feeding of 4,000. And it says in verse 35, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave to his disciples and disciples to the multitudes, and they did eat, and they were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitudes and took a ship and came into the coast of Magdala. You know what happened is, I mean, that's quite a big event, wouldn't you think so? I mean, you go to a restaurant, sometimes they don't even want you to sit in groups of 6 or 8. Can you imagine 4,000 men, not including the women and children? I got to be honest with you, I'm a pastor. I like ladies. I like my wife. I like to have a family. I have a family. So you have all the men and you have their wives and their children. And there's a large number of people there. Wouldn't you be astonished at a group like that? I think that'd be a pretty big day in your life. You'd pretty well remember it. And you'd be pretty excited to know that you were fed from only 7 loaves and a few fishes. And you all had the same thing. And you as a child could not say, Mommy, I don't like that. That really stinks, to be honest about it. Picky, picky kids. Shame on you. You ought to eat what's set before you. Your mom makes it. Your dad buys it. You ought to sit up and you ought to eat. You should not bellyache. You should not complain. You ought to take what they have before you. You ought to thank God for it. You ought to eat it without murmuring, complaining, and bellyaching. Amen. Whew, on a Wednesday night. No one complained, at least it wasn't written down. So it was a pretty big deal. But in the next chapter, you find that the scribes and the Pharisees were there. They joined up. And I'm going to tell you something, there's so many problems with the scribes and the Pharisees. They're very religious people. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees came tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign. They said, hey, Lord, or Jesus, or I don't know what they were going to call him. But they said, we want you to show us something special. He just fed 4,000. How many are still with me? Say amen. Amen. I mean, I don't like this, and it really goes against my grain. And if you ever said, I said, and you tell your mother, I'm in trouble. But duh. It doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, we want you to show us something special. You know, there are a lot of people in our lives that want God to do something more special. Well, did he save you? Yes or no? Has he healed you? How many's ever been sick? Would you raise your hand? You ever start feeling better? I guess he heals you, right? I mean, he's taking care of you. He's forgiven you all your sins. He doesn't necessarily have to do anything more special for you. He didn't have to. Now he loves to do it. But he was affected by the scribes and the Pharisees. And the Lord just says, no other sign will be given but the prophet of Jonas. And that's Jonah. And boy, if I preach on that, we will be here for 3 months. So they left. They went to the other side of wherever they were at. I'm not even going to tell you. I'm not even going to look because that will add more time. I'm building up to why they're having this conversation. They go on the other side. And to be honest about it, the Lord begins to talk about the disciples and he gives them a warning. He gave them a warning because he wanted to make sure they learned a lesson yesterday. Did you get that? The Lord allowed a circumstance in the life of the disciples so that he could teach them a lesson the very next day. And God often allows you to go through some circumstance that may overwhelm you, that may surprise you, that may take the wind out of you. He may allow you to go through a circumstance that it almost knocks you down in order to say, I want to teach you a lesson. He does that. He was doing this to the disciples and they didn't get it. Matter of fact, they didn't get it in such a way that he warned them. He said, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? I mean, is Jesus talking because we didn't bring any bread with us? I mean, we just fed 4,000 and there was some left and no one packed it. So is this what it's about? Because they didn't fully understand. How many of you ever read your Bible and you didn't fully understand it? There was something more, wasn't it, that you missed? And if you go on with your life, you'll forget it. You won't learn your lessons. So it's important sometimes when we have our Bible time and we walk with Christ, it's important that when we can, we linger and we meditate on it. And sometimes it's important that we say, wait a minute, I'm going to mark this and I'm going to go back and visit it. And that's why it's important that you realize that if you get off schedule or you get out of the habit or you're a little bit mixed up or confused and maybe you didn't get your Bible reading and your walk with Christ like you wanted, that's why it's important that you get back on track because there may be some lessons that you might have missed. So the Lord is speaking to them. And he's teaching them. And so I think it's really important because in verse 12 it says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leavened bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Lord said, wait a minute. He was making sure that it was not this, you understood that wasn't about your diet. It was about doctrine. It was about philosophies. It was about association. It was about attractions. It was about alignment. It was about associations. See, the Lord wanted to make sure that the disciples knew that you better beware of the attraction to the scribes and the Pharisees and their doctrines and their associations. Why? You know what you'll do? You'll compromise. You'll align yourself with those that are false on their doctrines. You'll align yourself who are off the beaten path. You will align themselves with those who maybe don't necessarily love the Lord or serve the Lord, but they're always, their attitude is questioning and confusion and not saying, I want to go with you, but I want you to come with me. I want you to go to my place. I want you to hear what I have to say. I want you to know what I believe. Are you with me? Say amen. There are so many people pulling everybody from all different directions trying to get you to turn from the Word of God. Don't do it. See, people are not against religion. They're against Christianity. And in our country today, you've got to understand that there is such a pulling to try to get you about hate speech and everything else and get you to align yourself with something that is completely false, something that opposes the Word of God, something that opposes the Lord Jesus Christ, and they want you to water everything down. I like the Lord when he said, beware. Beware. Hey, beware. It's important that you understand that there are people out there that are wrong. By the way, you happen to be in the right place. You happen to have the right Bible. I was searching through this. I began to think about, oh, it's beginning to make sense, Lord. You're telling them to beware. And then he asks this. He says, whom do they say I am? What? He's asking the disciples, whom do they say I am? He's wanting to know, okay, you are out in the business world. You're out talking to people. You're out with those who are lost. And I mean, you just walked around. We just fed 4,000 plus women and children. I just got to ask you, who do they say I am? Isn't that a good question? May I ask you a question? The people that you fellowship with, the people that you walk with, the people that you work with, the people that you are friends with, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you what the Lord Jesus Christ would ask? Could I ask you, who do they say he is? Who do your friends say he is? That's pretty important, isn't it? You can tell a lot about people by how they talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they identify them. You can tell about how much your association can affect you and their association can affect you and your alignment can affect them. You can tell a lot by simply asking them about your Jesus. Do they want to talk about him? Or is he just the man upstairs? People talk like that, isn't it? Just a good book, isn't it? Oh, pardon my French. Those are your friends? Who do they say I am? That's why the Lord's asking. And not only says, oh, who do they say I am? Then he asks the disciples, he says, who do you say I am? Which is now really getting personal. Are you getting that yet? Who do you say he is? Peter, he's right on it. I say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Boy, I want to shout right now. I just want to have a good old time. I just want to cut loose because that just makes me happy. I'm in alignment with Peter, to be honest about it. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, flesh and blood is not revealed to that, but my Father which is in heaven. That's the right answer. You know, that'd make your preacher happy if you said, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who I serve. That's who I worship. And the Lord Jesus Christ was so excited about that. And then he made a statement. He said, and I'm going to let preacher do this so I can keep going with my message. But the Lord made it very clear that he said that upon this rock I will build my church. He's not talking about Peter. How many are still with me on that? Say amen. So can I run over that one? Forget that. He's not talking about Peter. But he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, I like that because I'm in the church building business. Aren't you? Thought so. Aren't you? Okay. I hope you all are. Upon this rock I will build my church. And I got excited about that, but he had to add something. I can't just leave it there. Because I could just get excited and I could said, okay, Lord, I'm done. I'm going to close my Bible. I'm good for the whole day. Let's go. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. This is so exciting. Man, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. I love that. Let's go, Lord. Let's do this together. And then he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It sounds like a battle. And it is, isn't it? And the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. So I'm trying to have special days, Lord. I'm trying to see people saved. I want people baptized. I'm doing everything I possibly can. He says, the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. I'm saying, well, that's really good. But I'm thinking, but the battle. There's a battle. I got to admit, then this thought came to me. As I'm walking with Christ in the morning, my mind thinks clear in the morning. It's after 10 o'clock. It's done at night. I got to thinking about this. And I'm thinking, wow. Wow. See, when you read your Bible, you got to stop and think. Call it meditation. I don't believe that the devil would attack something that's so frivolous. I don't think he'd waste any time if the church was a frivolous thing. If it was a mediocre thing, if it wasn't important, I don't think Satan would waste any time on it. Do you? I don't think he would. I mean, I know I'm thinking of the enemy, but keep in mind, again, you know I was a sergeant and I had to watch over, I had to learn about the enemy and plan these attacks and different things. It's just what I did when I was in the military. But I'm just saying, when I heard that the battle's there and I sing this here and I'm thinking it's against the church, well, I'm thinking I want to know who the enemy is. And sometimes you read your Bible, you better know who the enemy is. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. They're going to attack the church, so you just got to understand. If you know anything about warfare, you understand that you better know how they're going to attack. You need to know why they're going to attack. You're going to need to know where they're going to attack. There's so many things about them attacking. You better be prepared. And you just go to church and just come in here and expect no attack. But I'm thankful the Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Meaning, they're not going to win. So I already know, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. I know that. But I'm the church. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you that. You're the church too. If this building burnt to the ground, tomorrow morning you'd still have a church, wouldn't you? Because the church is the people. The gates of hell are not going to prevail against your building. I watched our building burn to the ground 45 minutes, leveled. We still had church the next Sunday. And people, so there's going to be attacks, So this walking with Christ is important for your family, for your church, for your pastor, for everybody. And if you get a little off track, I understand that, but get back on track, because the devil's going to say, okay, now they're back to work. We're going to get out there. I mean, I hate to say it, brother, but you're the principal. That means you better be prepared for some battles this year. You better put your armor on. And aren't the battles worth fighting for? See, you're the church. You are. So the tasks are going to be there. But you're promised the victory. And when I see the Lord Jesus Christ working all the way up in this, I began to get excited and said, I'm going to look at one more passage and I'm going to say, Lord, I know it's mentioned over here in Mark. What does it say? And so I turned to Mark chapter 8. And they don't have all the exact same wording and different things. But when the Lord started dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees, he was a little bothered, shaken by it. And I mean this in the proper sense. And in Mark chapter 8, verse 10, it says, and straightway he entered into the ship with the disciples and came into parts of Dalmatia. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. Why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto you in this generation. And then he goes on with this, upon this rock I'll build my church. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He's man. He's God in the flesh. And he faces the scribes and the Pharisees, and he's thinking about the church. He asks, who do they say I am? Who do you say I am? And God's revealed it, but he sighs deeply. He just takes him back because he's affected by what people think. Sometimes he's affected that they don't get it. Do you understand that sometimes we don't get all the truth that we are supposed to get to help us in a given situation, and it affects the spirit of the Lord? He sighs deeply. These words mean in his spirit, in the most widest sense. He is grieved. And he's aggrieved because they don't get it. Even his disciples didn't get it. They thought he was talking about bread. Oh, listen, Christian. It is so important that you understand how important the church is. You know, he paid for it with his own blood. What a price. Highest price possible. You're paid for. You're bought with the price. He sought you as a bride. Now, this is really amazing because it's hard for me to understand that I'm a bride, but it's really hard for me to understand that you're the bride. I'm just saying, there's really nothing pretty about that guy. But we're the bride. Amen? He sought us, he bought us, he paid for us. By the way, I don't believe for a moment, I'm thinking in this walk with the Lord in the morning, I'm thinking for that, why would the devil fight so hard against something that didn't mean a whole lot, wasn't that important, the church? Because he knows how important it is. But why would the Lord shed his own blood and sacrifice greatly, the greatest sacrifice that could ever be done? Would he have done that for a church that wasn't important? I don't think he would you? He knew how important the church was. He knew that there was going to be attacks against the church. He knew that this is my bride. Hey, do you understand that the Lord says we are his bride? He sought for us. He sought us. He bought us. And he wants to present us for His glory, a holy bride to the Father. I don't think in the Lord's eyes that church is unimportant. I don't think for a minute that the church is something that is not a big deal. I don't think the church in God's eyes, in the Lord's eyes, or even Satan's eyes, I don't think the church is something that people ought to just cut out on. People ought to just miss at their own will because of the simple things in life. Because the Lord sought you. He bought you. He paid the price. Satan is going to attack and attack and attack. And he's wondering, well, who do they say I am? And who do you say I am? And the church is important. Can I say this one more time? Then I'll have to sit down because you'll probably have to chase me off. He likens us to a bride, right? Do you understand that the bride expects the groom to come home? And the groom expects the bride to come home. How many understand that? It's just expected. I'll be honest with you. My wife would throw a hussy fit if I did not come home. And I would throw a fit if she didn't. Because she's my bride. I'm her groom. Do you know if people took the attitude in their marriage like they have towards the church, I can miss whenever I want to. They'd sure grieve the Lord an awful lot, wouldn't they? And we come up with a lot of reasons to miss church. And do you expect the Lord not to be affected deeply? See, when you miss, you're affecting your Lord and your God and my Lord and His God. He does care what I think of who He is. And He does care what I think of who He paid the price for His bride. He cares how I treat His church. Oh, it's so important. It's so important that we get back on track and we open up the Word of God and we open up the Scriptures and we get what the Lord has for us and we stay long enough to make sure we got the whole truth that He wants to teach us. Oh, it's so important, church. Parents, it's so important you make sure you're teaching your kids to open up the Word of God that they can get that truth and get it applied to their heart. Let's bow our heads and pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father,